Blog Talk Radio.
Who in the Bible is called a terror?
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Welch, and thank you. Who in the Bible is called a terror? Who does the plaintiff accuse of terrorist acts? Hear a confession coming from the papacy who speaks in behalf of all Gentiles. Learn of the forecast that has come about and come to pass. In this one-hour session of Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast, I will speak on those things. And what better time to get started than right now? Those of you who have been following this broadcast, you know that for the past several weeks, I have been speaking on the plaintiff and his complaint and the answer coming from the defendants. The plaintiff, of course, is the black man, a black person, a real person, who has drawn up complaints against the Gentiles for their enslavement, their invasion into Africa and conquest of Africa, the enslavement of his people, the scattering of his people, the deceiving of his people, just exploitation of black people by the Gentiles headed by the papacy. And, of course, as I said, the defendants are the Pope, the papacy, and the Gentiles, alias white people. All of my content comes from the AVB, a.k.a. King James Version. Now, a cause for action. A cause for action. The plaintiff has a reasonable cause for action. That cause for action, or in part, is that comes from Lamentations 1, verses 14 through 15. The plaintiff's cause for action. He says, he and the he being a reference to the papacy, those are the papacy, he has made my strength to fall. The Lord, there the plaintiff names the person who has wronged him. Now in verse, in Lamentations 2:5, right quickly, we see that the Lord, it says the Lord was as an enemy. The Lord was as an enemy to who? The Lord was as an enemy to the plaintiff and his people. And I need to turn to that right quick. In the book of Esther, let's see here. Esther chapter 7, verse 4, the plaintiff says, "For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish." And now we go back to Lamentations 1:14-15. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. What a statement. He has caused my strength to fall. The Lord has delivered me into their hands. Now, Lord here is a reference to those of the papacy. All right? And that's throughout Bible content. Rather than the popes in their writing of scripture, rather than they saying and using the title Pope, they use the title Lord. The Lord has delivered me into their hands. The papacy has delivered the plaintiff and all his people, as we see in Esther 7:4. We are sold, I and my people. And the word sold there is another form of the word sold is sale, S-E-L-L, and a definition of sale is to deliver into the hands of one's enemies, okay? I and my people are delivered into the hands of the enemy to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Back to Lamentations 1:14. The Lord has delivered me, and not only him, but it's implied that his people are implied there, into their, the Gentiles' hands. Those are the people, the Gentiles, that the papacy delivered Africans into their hands. And he says, from whom I am not able to rise up. And ever since the Gentiles invaded and conquered Africa and took possession of its resources, land, and everything else, and people, black people have not been able to rise up. They have not been able to rise up against their oppressors, the Gentiles, and those of the papacy, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord has trodden underfoot all my mighty men. Remember, this is a cause for complaint, not cause of complaint, but cause for complaint. The Lord has trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. That's a reference to the battles, the war that the Gentiles waged against African people, black people, all right? In the midst of me, he hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. What is the assembly that the papacy called against the Gentiles? It is an assembly of armed forces. The assembly of the Gentile forces joined together as one, and went into Africa to conquer and to destroy and to bring into captivity. He says here in Lamentations 1:15, to crush my young men, defeat his young men, his army. Okay? And, of course, in the Gentiles warring against the Africans, at the end of verse 16 here, the enemy prevail. Who is the enemy? Back to Lamentations 2:5, the Lord was as an enemy. All right? and along with the Lord, along with the papacy, the people of the papacy, the Gentiles. So you have the papacy and the Gentiles acknowledged to be in the Bible the enemy of black people, the enemy of African people. Okay? Cause for complaint. Now, if you have been following the episode week to week, from week to week, you see that there is an abundance of evidence against or concerning, let's use the word concerning right now, concerning the Gentiles and the invasion and conquest of Africa and bringing his people into captivity. An abundance of evidence. I believe this is the seventh program, you know, that I have been dealing with. This is number seven, the seventh episode concerning the plaintiff and his complaint, and also now the answer of the defendant. Okay, let's look at one complaint. Before we do that, let's go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And I have to go back to get a base for those who have not been keeping up with the information to get a base. Psalm 106. And that's Psalm 106, verses 41 and 42. By the abundance of evidence, the Bible places much importance on not necessarily the poor man or the plaintiff here, but it places much importance and gives much space to and print to the Gentiles and their treatment of African people. Okay? And an abundance of evidence. Now, Psalm 106, verses 41 through 42. And this is in line with the plaintiff's cause for concern that we looked at a few moments ago, coming from Lamentations chapter 1. And right here, Psalm 106:41, and those of the papacy, gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen. Now, we know that the papacy gave the Africans into the hands of the Gentiles. So then, heathen here evidently is a reference to the invaders, the conquerors, the Gentiles, and that they, the Gentiles, headed by the papacy, that hated them, the Africans, ruled over them, the Africans. Keep up with the information, listen closely. Their enemies, the Africans are black people's enemies, those are the papacy and the Gentiles, also oppressed them, the Africans / black people. And they, the Africans, black people, were brought into subjection under the Gentiles and papacy's hand. All right? Now, when we get to the judgment here in verse 43, of Psalm 106, this statement is a reference to the judgment. When we get to the judgment again, because we have dealt with the judgment before, the last statement in, let's read the whole verse, verse 43, Psalm 106. Many times did he deliver them. Deliver here again means to be sold into the hands of one's enemy. Many times did he, those of the papacy, deliver them, the Africans. Now they were delivered into, the black people were delivered into the Gentiles' hands by the papacy from the offset of the battles against, that they wage against the Africans. Okay? Again, they were delivered into the enemy's hands. The papacy sold them into the enemy's hands to be slaughtered. Remember the statement that I read a few minutes ago from the book of Esther 7:4, where the plaintiff alleges, saying, I and my people are, we are sold. I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, etc. Okay? So now let me read that statement, which is a conclusion. You know, this statement in Psalm 106, verses 41 through 42 is a conclusion. It's conclusionary. The papacy gave the Africans into the hands of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles that hated the Africans ruled over them, the Africans. The Africans' enemies also oppressed them, and the Africans were brought into subjection under the papacy's hand. Okay? That's giving understanding of what is written. Okay? Giving understanding, sound, precise, exact understanding of what has happened. Quickly look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, giving an understanding of what is written in the law. The Authorized Version is a book of law. Chapter 8, Nehemiah, verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, the meaning, the actual interpretation, sense, S-E-N-S-E, and caused them to understand the reading. By my giving the sense of the written word, people get the proper and intended understanding of that which is written in the book of the law, the Authorized Version, also called King James Version. Okay, the statement here, back to Psalm 106, 43 many times did the papacy deliver the Africans into the hands of the Gentiles. Remember, just a few weeks ago, I spoke on the slaughter, the great slaughter. That was another time that the papacy sold the Africans to be destroyed. Okay? The time of the great slaughter. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with the counsel and were, okay, this statement has to do with the judgment against the Gentiles. The Gentiles, they were brought low for their iniquity. What is their iniquity? What we just read in Psalm 106, verses 41 through 42. I won't repeat it right now. I've said it enough, okay? But that's the Gentiles and papacy's iniquity. Psalm 106, 41, 42, and again also in what we first read, Lamentations 1, verses 14 and 15. That is the iniquity of the Gentiles' iniquity, and the iniquity of the papacy. Okay, but the focus right now is not the judgment. The focus is right now is still on the plaintiff and his allegations against those of the papacy and the Gentiles. Let's move forward. A complaint coming from the plaintiff, Lamentations 1:19. And what is that complaint? It's the second statement in Lamentations 1:19. They deceived me. They deceived me. A three-word statement, a three-word complaint. They deceived me. Now, if they deceived the plaintiff, they also deceived the people of the plaintiff. Remember, and the they there, of course, is a reference to those of the papacy and the Gentiles. Those of the papacy and the Gentiles, the papacy's people, deceived black people. And with how did they deceive them? With what did they deceive them? They have deceived black people with respect to the Bible, Jesus, and God. In other words, with their religious teachings, the Gentiles and those of the papacy have deceived black people. So the complaint is they deceived me. And I've already stated in earlier episodes that when the plaintiff speaks using the pronoun me, it is to be understood that he's talking also about his people. Because what they did to one, they did to all. What the Gentiles did to one black in regard to the conquest of Africa, scattering and enslavement, et cetera, of black people, what they did to one, they did to all. Okay? But that's the three-word complaint here. Now we turn to Isaiah 32:7, and it's a statement having to do with those of the papacy and the Gentiles, Isaiah 32:7. Now, if these things have not actually happened to black people, then these statements in the Bible are no good. Right? As you see, Bible content has a lot to say about the Gentiles' treatment of black people and their conduct toward black people. Treatment and conduct. Okay? Isaiah 32. And that's Isaiah 32, verse 7. Continuing with the line of complaint, the plaintiff says, he devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. Okay, let's read that again. Or this statement could be perceived to say or to be a clue, and it could also be conclusionary. He devises wicked devices, and the he there, the papacy, devises wicked devices to destroy the poor. Okay. See here. Okay, and that is in regard, one thing is in regard is in regard to several different things, but what my focus is here, in regard to his religious rhetoric and teaching, he devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. They deceived me. Listen, he says in Psalm 42:4, continuing this line of complaint here, Psalm 42:4, he says, and this is the plaintiff speaking, in the midst of Psalm 42:4, he says, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And you could say Sunday or whatever holy day you want to put to it, all right? Whether it be Sunday, Saturday, it doesn't matter, the holy day, he went with them to the house of God. Now, he was led by them in and into the house of God, okay, because remember, this is a slave. This is a slave speaking. This complaint is the voice of the slaves, okay? I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude. And you find a multitude in church, the average church, for that service, with a multitude that kept holy day or Sunday or Saturday, whichever day, All right? Because some Gentiles, go to church on Sunday. Some Gentiles go to church on Saturday. Jews are Gentiles. Okay, so all of this is flowing together. They deceived me. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor. That's a word of special note there. Let's take that to be that. Okay, a word of special note, Isaiah 32:7, coming from the writers, the authors, the papacy. He devises, talking about itself, the papacy talking about itself. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. And where does he do that? He does that even to this day in church. And church buildings are called what? The house of God. All right? And you find, in many churches, you find a what? A multitude of people. Okay? And here is the confirmation statement. No, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. As a result of the Gentiles and the papacy's wicked religious teachings, devices, we have that resultant coming in, showing up in Jeremiah 9:19. Jeremiah 9:19. And in the midst of the 19th verse, okay, yeah, well, how are we spoiled like people were greatly spoiled by the Gentiles? We are greatly confounded. That's a result of the papacy and Gentiles' wicked devices. Are one of their wicked devices. That's a result. As a result, we are confused. Okay? I'm sorry. That word is confounded. Yeah. We are greatly confounded. There in Jeremiah 9:19. We are greatly confounded. Okay? That's a result. And the word confound there, now listen closely, the word confound means to mix up or lump together indiscriminately, confuse, to damn, D-A-M-E, to damn. Now, what is mixed up and what things are lumped together indiscriminately? The crucial matter of Bible content is mixed up, lumped together indiscriminately. Okay? That's why I go from a statement here and then go somewhere else for a statement. Well, they do that in church. The teachers of lies in the churches do that. You know, they're giving you three scriptures, one from here, one from there, and one from another place. You know, of course, I give many statements coming from the complainant or plaintiff, and the many answers coming from the defendant. Okay? And look at the law of the curse. The many, many statements constituting the law of the curse are the many, many, many statements constituting the law of God are the many, many statements constituting the Passover law. Okay? But in the Bible itself, things cannot be read line upon line. So the Bible gives the command saying, put the crucial matter in order. That's rewording it, but that's what it boils down. Put all things in order. And that's what I do. I have put things in order. Okay? So that in my book, one can read, and in my writings, one can read the complaint line upon line, whereas in the Bible, it cannot be read line upon line. The law of the curse. The objectives, papal objectives aimed against black people cannot be read line upon line. Okay? And so with the other things that I have discovered and brought forth from the Bible. So the result of Jeremiah 9:19, white people are greatly confounded. And okay, and we're looking at the definition of confound, to mix up, lump together indiscriminately, as the crucial matter of Bible content is mixed up, lumped together. You know, you have subject matter from this and subject matter from another particular thing, all in the same statement, okay? Lumped together indiscriminately. So when you read the Bible, you do not get a clear and accurate picture of what is being said. Isn't that something? That's why many people say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. The Bible was not written for you to understand. Okay? It wasn't. Okay. Also, Confound means to confuse. The word confounded means confused, bewildered. The word confused means to, again, as confound also, to mix up, jumble together. Same thing applies what I said to in regard to the word confound and Bible content. The same thing, with the word confused, mix up and jumble together, put into disorder. Crucial matter of Bible content has been deliberately put into disorder. That's a fact. Okay? And what I do is give order to the crucial matter of Bible content. And I say crucial matter because of what? Because of this. You read the story of the Exodus, Moses delivering the people from a party, okay? It goes, it flows. You know, it has a beginning and it has an ending, or what could be perceived as an ending. You read the story of Jonah. You know, it has a beginning, it has an ending, okay? You read the story of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It has a beginning and it has an ending, all right? But in regard to the crucial matter of Bible content, such as things I have already mentioned, the law of the curse, the Passover law, the law of God, etc., the content of those things is put in disarray. It's deliberately set in disorder, or it is deliberately disordered. So you see the difference. You have the crucial matter of Bible content, and you have the stories that are in the Bible. The story of Jesus, the story of Jonah and whatever fish it was, the story of Moses and delivering the children of Israel from Egypt or whatever, et cetera. Even the creation story, so-called creation story, first chapter or so in the book of Genesis. It has a beginning, and it has an ending. All right? You can read the story line by line or line upon line. But again, and we're moving forward, the crucial matter of Bible content is in disorder. I give order to the crucial matter of Bible content. And in doing so, I give the sense, and the people get the understanding, the intended understanding. Not my intended understanding, although I can say that, but they get the author's intended understanding. And that's what is important. All right? So, what is more important in the Bible? The stories that you can read line upon line, the stories that have a beginning in it and an ending, are that which I have given the name of crucial information. Which is more important? The stories are not true. I mean, there was not a man named Jonah who was swallowed by a great fish that eventually vomited him up and out, back into the world again from out of the belly of the fish. Things like that don't happen in real life. And he came out, whole, sane, exactly as he went in. Things like that don't happen in real life. Okay? In real life, a man cannot hold a staff or anything over a body of water, and the water divides itself into two. The water parts itself. Things like that do not happen in real life. In real life, people do not raise other people from the dead. Not in real life. Only in made-up fictitious stories do those things happen. We must be real. We must be honest. We must be sure. We must be right. All right? I do not live in a fictitious world. I live in a real world. All right? So do you. You live in a real world. right? Moving on, moving forward. So black people are confounded. They are confounded by the religious rhetoric coming from the papacy and the Gentiles with regard to their religious teachings and their so-called interpretation of Bible content. Black people are greatly confounded, as the plaintiff here says. All right, as for the defendant, Isaiah 37, verse 27. Let me ask this because I'm not sure. I wasn't expecting the announcement at the beginning. So just let me ask this question because I don't know. Is Mr. Welch with us at this time? Okay, so I got my answer. Mr. Welch is not with us, so we probably won't be having another announcement. I'll have another, you know, showing or speaking of the announcements again. All right? Answer of the defendant, Isaiah 37, verse 27. And who did I say the defendant is or are, defendants are? Isaiah 37, 27. Okay, the descendants are those of the papacy and their people, the Gentiles, alias white people. Here we are. They were dismayed and confounded. That's a confirmation to the plaintiff's statement, we are greatly confounded. The papal statement says, in confirming that statement, they says they, the black people, the Africans, were dismayed and confounded. Okay? And what does confound mean again? Confound means to confuse. Right? And confuse means to mix up, jumble together, put into disorder. It also means to mix up mentally, perplex. It means to fail to distinguish between. Black people up to this point, since we've been free, have failed to distinguish between that which is real in the Bible and that which is not real. Just as the plaintiff stated, we are greatly confounded with regard to Bible content. Greatly confounded. That which is fictitious in the Bible, black people take as what? As real. As real. Greatly confounded. Okay? So we have the statement coming from the defendant. They were dismayed and greatly confounded. As a result of Isaiah 32, verse 7, he devises wicked devices to destroy the poor. And poor there is a reference to black people. It's also a reference to other non-Gentile people, but I'm speaking here with specific regard to black people, because there are other groups of people who have been deceived, just as black people have been deceived. Okay. And the deceit is rooted in the church. What did the plaintiff say? He said, I went with them to the house of God. Did slaves go to church with their slave masters? That's the implication here. Now, I don't think they went to church with them throughout the entire course of the enslavement era. I think toward the end of the enslavement era, the Gentiles started letting they started taking some of them to church with them. As we stated last week, and I can't pull up the verse right here, but so the black people, once they come out of slavery, they would have a good respect for their captors, their enslavers. Oh, we used to go to church with them. Yeah, but you didn't understand what they were saying. And it's evident because black people are greatly confounded by the Gentiles' outward teaching, what they teach outwardly. Oh, and that brings up another point. I had really forgotten about it, and I meant to talk about it on this broadcast. But do you know what, have you heard of the word unteach? I know we've all heard the word, heard of the word teach, T-E-A-C-H. But have you heard the word unteach? It has a meaning. It's in the dictionary, and it has a meaning. And one of the meanings of the word unteach is to teach the opposite of. Please, this is very important. One of the definitions of the word unteach, U-N-T-E-A-C-H, is to teach the opposite of. And they do that. They do it in the church. The church teaches with regard to the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, 38, etc. They teach, they the Gentiles teach, that Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers. But when you read the story in the Authorized Version Bible, where men have not changed what the papacy wrote, in that story, you see that Joseph was not sold into Egypt by his brothers. It gives a summary statement at the end of Genesis 37. It gives an end. The summary statement, Genesis 37, verse 36. And the Midianites, listen carefully, and the Midianites sold him, Joseph, into Egypt. That's the answer to the question, who sold Joseph into Egypt? Many, many people, everybody I've asked the question, everybody I've heard teach on it, teach that Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers. Why? Why do black people teach that? They teach that simply because the Gentiles teach it. The Gentiles taught it to them when we were slaves. Taught it to us when we were slaves. Slaves couldn't read. They didn't have the Bible. We have the Bible now, and we can read. And we've had the Bible ever since the Gentiles freed us or emancipated us 146 years ago, somewhere around about that, 146 years ago, here in America. 146 years. And black people are still teaching that Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers. And we have this conclusionary statement here in Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. The Midianites sold him, talking about Joseph, if you read further up into the chapter, the Midianites sold him, Joseph, into Egypt. You can put a period there. Period. The statement goes on to say, to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and captain of the guard. That's, what do the Gentiles call that? Teaching that Joseph was stolen to Egypt by his brothers. They call it unteaching. Unteaching. Teach the opposite. Teach what is not real. Don't teach that which is right. Another thing, and just quickly, and we'll move forward. The unteaching concerning Jesus. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is, the character Jesus is shown to be a lawbreaker. And it states in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John what laws he breaks. The Gentiles teach outwardly that Jesus was a righteous man. And that, I'm just going to let it go like that. They teach that Jesus was a good man. And when, in fact, all four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, show that Jesus was unrighteous. Why? Because he broke laws. If you break laws and deliberately break laws as the character Jesus does in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are unrighteous. Unrighteous people who break laws, and especially deliberately, they are unrighteous. Look up the definition for unrighteous. Look up the definition for the word righteous. So the Gentiles unteach when it comes to the teaching of Jesus, and they unteach when it comes to the teaching of Joseph and his brothers, and Joseph's getting into Egypt, as well as other things. Okay, but those are two prime examples of the Gentiles unteaching and that the things that they unteach black people take to be true and real. That's something. We need to change that. We need to change that. And if you want the original word that came from the papacy, because Bible content is put forth by the papacy, not by kings and other, you know, and all like that. It comes from popes, Bible content. And especially with regard to the crucial matter of Bible content, it comes from popes. Or the teaching of the Bible teachings, whatever they are, come from popes. Okay. Popes are the that was their responsibility to write scripture. Okay, so don't forget that. Are you adhering to the unteaching with regard to Bible content? Or are you going with that which is sound, right, proper? Okay. They are confounded. That Psalm 71:24. Okay, but before we get to that, let's see. Jeremiah 9:5. Jeremiah 9:5. Here's another special word of interest, a special note. They will, those of the papacy and Gentiles, will deceive everyone, his neighbor. How? By just what I just told you, by unteaching, by the method, of unteaching. They will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. When you are unteaching, you speak that which is not true. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Okay? Now, so that's a special word, special note there. They will deceive and will not speak the truth, and that's what the Gentiles do in religion. And when it comes to the Bible, they unteach. They do not speak the truth, and in that unteaching, they deceive. Who do they deceive? They deceive non-Gentile people. They deceive black people and other people as well. Okay. Now, the Gentiles know that Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers. The Gentiles know that Jesus broke laws and all like that, and as a result, he was crucified, put to death. He was sentenced to death, put to death for his own crimes or sins. In other words, for sin is crime. Now, Psalm 71:24, and it's just three words in confirmation of what the plaintiff has said, and is saying, we are greatly confounded. The papal statement says they are confounded. Who is the they? They, black people, are confounded because of the religious teachings of the Gentiles and their method of unteaching. Okay. Now, why are they confounded? I just gave the answer for it. I jumped ahead of myself. Isaiah 28:15 answers the question, why are black people confounded? And in this statement, now, I just told you the reason with regard to unteaching. Now, in this statement, the papacy gives a confession in regard to unteaching and in regard to deceiving black people. They say, we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. We have made lies our refuge. Now, the question to you is, you the listener, are you listening to the lies? And are you walking in the lies? Walk in light of the truth which I teach. As far as I know, I'm the only one teaching these things right now. Maybe others. I, in all my years of dealing with law in the Bible, I haven't found anyone, Gentile, black, it doesn't matter. I haven't found anyone. Bible right, not man right, but Bible right. So we have the the statement. We black people are greatly confounded, and we have the confirmation or affirmation, which says they black people are confounded. Why are they confounded? They say we have made our refuge, that's the confession, but the answer to the question of why we are confounded is because of the as a result of the unteaching done by those of the papacy and the Gentiles. But do not forget that confession coming from the papacy. And the papacy speaks for all Gentiles, saying, we have made lies our refuge. Just like they lied about Joseph, how Joseph got into Egypt. They lied about Jesus being a righteous man, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Jesus being a real man when, in fact, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus is a fictitious character. Okay? An unrighteous fictitious character. A fictitious character who broke laws. That was his modus operandi, to break, especially with regard to the Sabbath, to break the law of the Sabbath. And the penalty for breaking the law of the Sabbath was death, just as Jesus got when the authorities caught him. They put him to death just as the law required. Okay? Now, Isaiah 28:17 says, The refuge of lies shall be swept away. That's Isaiah 28:17. Sweep away the refuge of lies. And how are they to be swept away? By the truth, by knowledge of the truth, teaching of the truth. Okay? By teaching the truth, we sweep away the refuge of lies. Another complaint. Now we finish with that. That complaint had to do with Gentiles and papal deceiving black people. And in that, we have a result of the unteaching. Black people are confounded. They went with them to the house of God. Don't forget that statement. Where they began to be deceived. They were strengthened in their deceit, because I'm pretty sure as the slaves worked, whether it be in the fields, et cetera, the Gentiles would tell them lies. Okay? So that when we come out of enslavement, we come out with a bill of goods. We come out with a bunch or an abundance of lies. And those lies have remained with us up to this point, up to this day and time. The refuge of lies must be swept away. Get involved with the truth of Bible content. I actually want you to get involved with this, with me and my work. Okay? Because in my work, what one thing am I seeking to do? I am seeking to unconfuse black people. I'm seeking to disconfound black people. I'm seeking to teach black people the truth of Bible content, and in so doing, deliver them from the great deception brought on by the unteaching of those of the papacy and the Gentiles. Join me in my efforts. I need you. I need your help. I need you working with me to help all of our people. Okay? Join me. Leave a message on my page, but join me. My email address is tlhart999@hotmail.com. Okay. Let me verify that. Okay. My email address is tlhart99@hotmail.com. Again, that is T.L. Hart, and Hart is H-A-R-T, T.L. Hart 99 at hotmail.com. Speak with me by email. Share with me what you're getting out of the program, and if so, share with me your willingness to work with me, etc. Okay? Share with me, but let me hear from you. I teach the truth of Bible content, and we can see the truth of the things that the plaintiff is alleging against the defendants, because those things actually happened to black people. Okay? Listen to this one. We got to get this one in. Lamentations 2:22. Okay? Lamentations 2:22. Listen to this one. This complaint coming from the plaintiff. Thou hast called, and the thou there is a reference to the Lord. The Lord is a reference to those of the papacy. Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terrors round about. Now, to really get the sense of it, just let's cut it short and say, thou hast called my terrors. Who are the terrors of the plaintiffs? Those who invaded Africa, those who enslaved the Africans, those who scattered the Africans. Listen, and we have spoken about the slaves being in fear 24/7, that they were filled with fear 24/7, we've spoken about it. The terrorists. Those are the papacy and the Gentiles terrorized black people. And you know what? Up until just here of late, that's been going on up until you can't say the present, because during my lifetime, heretofore, you've had groups, whether it be Ku Klux Klan, whatever, terrorizing black people, putting crosses in people's yards, burning up houses, burning crosses and all. The cross for the Gentiles is a sign of death to black people, okay? For those of the papacy and the Gentiles, the cross is a sign of death to black people, or death for black people. Okay, but we got to move on. Thou hast called my terrors round about me. The Lord, or those of the papacy, have caused Gentiles to terrorize black people. Of course, it doesn't happen as much now, but gosh, during the time of the enslavement era, it was just rampant. I mean, just acts happening all around. You can't say all the time if something wasn't going on here, it was going on there, but somewhere, terrorizing black people. Okay? And we see that in Acts 4:31. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 5, verses 5 and 11. Acts 5:5-11, you have this statement, and great fear came on all them. That's verse 5 of Acts 5 and verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church. Okay? Now, the great fear, we're talking about, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 4:31. Okay? Holy Ghost, go to Hebrews 8:9. It says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying. The word signifies means to be an indication or sign of, or to mean. Meaning. A signifying or a signification. A signification is a meaning. Okay, or signifying being a sign or indication of. The Holy Ghost, meaning fear, great fear. That's that's what we get from this statement in Hebrews 9:8. Join me again as the screening comes to an end. I will continue just for a few minutes, so stay with me. So we will move on. So, in Hebrews 8, I'm sorry, in Hebrews 9, 8, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, it says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying. What does it signify? What does Holy Ghost signify? Holy Ghost signifies meaning. It signifies being a sign or an indication of. And what is Holy Ghost a sign or indication of? Holy Ghost, in the Bible, as in real life during the enslavement era, was a sign of fear. And the sign of fear was shaking. Or we could say the signs of fear were, two of the signs of fear were shaking, you know, trembling and quaking. Trembling and quaking. Indications of fear. And Holy Ghost being the secret word for fear. So when we read Acts 4:31, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, it means they were all filled with intense fear, okay? Because that's what it was. It was intense fear. Holy Ghost is not a person. Holy Ghost is an emotion. It is the emotion of intense fear, as the fear with which black people had with respect to their Gentile captors. Intense fear, Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost signifies intense fear. Because if you read the statement on the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiness of all was not yet made manifest. Holy Ghost does not signify the way into the holiness of all. It doesn't signify that. It signifies intense fear. Okay? All right. And Acts 2:43. Acts 2:43. And fear came upon every soul. This is this Holy Ghost fear has to do with black people. It did not have to do with Gentiles. Gentiles did not have the Holy Ghost. And they do not have the Holy Ghost. Black people had the Holy Ghost, which is really just, and it's a bad thing, intense fear of their Gentile slave masters and captors, intense fear. And many of us still have that fear. Many of us are afraid to have anything to do with me because they fear the Gentiles. They think the Gentiles are going to do something to or against them, you know, if they accept my information or if they speak out during my broadcast when we open up the phone lines or something. They're scared. Or scared what their family members are going to say. They're scared. Scared they're going to go to hell. And there is no lake of fire out in the universe burning somewhere where one day unbelievers are going to be cast into. Gentiles have already said they tell lies. We read the statement from Isaiah today. And the lies that we, whatever they said about lies, but they confessed to telling lies, religious lies. We didn't get to the forecast. Of course, the title of the program was had something to do with Judgment Revisited. That's what the standing title is right now, Judgment Revisited. I had a word on the judgment, but we really didn't visit the judgment or revisit the judgment today, but we will. And I'll change the title that I have up there for today's message or program. I'll change that title and try to give a more fitting title to it. With that, I'll save the rest for the next program. So keep in touch with me. I gave you my email address. Again, that email address is tlhart99@hotmail.com. tlhart99@hotmail.com. And you know my page, blogtalkradio.com/ that is, Lawmaster. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/ Lawmaster, all one word. Okay, so you have my URL and you have my email address. Please get in touch with me. And then next time, hopefully when Mr. Welch is again with us and he opens up the lines, call in and let your voice be heard. Remember this, you have nothing to fear in associating with me or affiliating in any way, having any affiliation in any way with this broadcast, with my person, with my message. You have nothing to fear. What are they going to do to you? They're not concerned, okay, about you. They are not concerned about you. You are not a problem to them. You have nothing to fear. Do not fear. Take part. Become active in this, with this work and with me. The Bible asks the question, how long will you be a spectator? How long will you look on? You know, just look on, not do anything. How long? What I teach is true. It's easy to see that what I teach is true because the things that I teach actually happen in real life, in real life. And that's one of the definitions of truth, that which is in accordance with reality, real life. And to know that, as the plaintiff said in his allegations, that we are greatly confounded as a people with regard, we're confounded, as I said earlier, by the religious rhetoric of the Gentiles. We have been taken, given a bill of goods, and it's time now that we have access to the truth through my teaching, through my information on the internet, through my book, we have access for the first time since the abolition or the abolishment of slavery. First time black people have access to the truth of Bible content. Let's make all we can out of it and of it and with it. Let's do the right thing. Do we have anybody there? Well, I thought I heard something. Okay, let's do the right thing. And the right thing is to connect with truth. The right thing is to stand up for truth, to stand for truth. Because if you don't, you're standing for the unteaching whereby the Gentiles have taken us. The unteaching, the false teaching, the opposite of truth, the teaching opposite of truth. If you don't stand with truth, you're standing against it. If you're silent, in light of all the truth that I have exposed coming from the Bible, if you're silent and remain silent, remember, you are an enemy of truth, because if you're not helping truth, you are acting in a way that is contrary to and against truth. All right? And I'll leave it with that. So I expect to hear from you. Please do it. You got my email address. You have my URL. Please connect with me and connect with truth. Thank you. Keep in touch by watching my page for the next broadcast time and date. Check my page. Okay? Thank you. And until next time, see you.